Kind of had a message put together. I'm thinking, God, oh my. So he showed me a way to work Mother's Day into what I already had. And I'm thinking, it's a very small part. Then Pastor Heather says, you're going to hear a great Mother's Day message. I'm thinking, oh Lord, don't fail us now. But he never does. He never does. The title of my message today is Breaking News. And I kind of had a tough time with that, like, how? But okay, he wouldn't let me off of it, so I said, okay, you know more than I do. The title of the message is Breaking News. And if you would look today, in my kind of simple terms, this whole world looks like a big dumpster fire. Everywhere you look, there's something happening. Like the stuff that's going on with the colleges and the police isn't doing anything about it. And it's just like, what in the world is going on? Has this world went crazy? You know, law enforcement ain't doing nothing. These kids are just running wild. Presidents of the college isn't, saying anything against her. It's just letting it happen. So the Lord showed me that the same stuff was going on in Acts that is going on right now. And that's what we're going to dig into. And another thing is, probably I'm looking around, everybody's going to know this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. When there's a great move of the Spirit, there is a great push against the Spirit. Hell ain't going to say, well, God's moving, I'm going to back off and go sulk in the corner. No, he pushes back. Because why? God's got to work through us. And if the devil can get us to take a step back or say, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, I may get kicked off YouTube, then he's won. You know, so that's what we're going to go about today. And we're going to start in Acts. And as we know, a lot of things started in Acts. You know, the Pentecost happened, the Holy Spirit came, fell on the people. In one day, Peter added 3,000 men, that's not counting women and children, to the church that day. They said it was like a 3 or 4 minute sermon, and bang, 3,000 got saved. How would you like that, Pastor? 3 minute service and 3,000 people get saved. You know? So then we go into Acts 3. Miracles are happening. And this is where Peter heals the lame man. He says, gold and silver I have not, but what I have I give freely. Get up and walk. So now we're going to go into Acts 4, 17 through 20.
But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speak about what we have seen and heard.
Right there, we got censorship. And how much since 2020 till now have we seen censorship of the truth? Whether it be just physical truth or spiritual truth. You know, if you get on any of the multimedia sources and you say something they don't like, more than likely you're going to get cut off. They may warn you for a couple times, but then, you know, you're going to be completely gone. Same thing was happening then. Hey, we don't want you speaking in this name of Jesus. We don't want you talking about Jesus. We don't want you talking about, the Sadducees, and this was the church. We don't want you talking about that guy. We don't want people to know that we falsely murdered him because there was nothing wrong in him. We don't want people to know this. So be quiet. Talk about anything you want to talk about, but stop talking about Jesus. Okay, in Acts 5, I mean, it was so bad, the religious rulers was plotting on how to kill them. He said, we can't deny the miracles that are happening. We cannot deny what is going on here. We cannot say what they're doing is wrong, they gotta just mysteriously die to shut them up. And then we go into Acts 6, 11 through 14.
Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us."
Now we're seeing they're bribing people to lie, to give false witness. We see that they're rousing up a crowd like the universities to help force their agenda. You know, I don't listen to very much news. I listen to a little bit, but not very much. And I was listening, and they was talking to some of the college students that was up in Columbia, and they say, "Why are you doing this?" Their answer was, "I don't know." They had no clue. They had trained people go to those colleges that didn't even go to college, start this thing up, and then the young kids just, "Hey, there's a riot going on, or there's something going on, let's go." They don't even know what they're supporting or what they're doing. That's what these people were doing in Acts. You had the religious leaders bribing, telling people to lie about Stephen. Then you also have them rallying the crowd up, so, "Hey, it ain't just us, look at all these people, they're all upset too, they're all mad, they're all going nuts too," to help push their agenda through. Can any of us see that we see this today on our news? Like I said, when I started reading this, it's like, man, it's just like, this is today, you know? I promise you the good news is coming. So the good news starts in Philippians 4:8.
"Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things."
There's our key. How have I kept myself so well grounded since 2020? Is because I listen to more things that are noble, that are true, than I do. I listen a little bit to the other stuff just so I know what's going on, but I don't listen so much that it captivates me, that, "Oh my gosh, what's going on?" No, I meditate on that, and that's what we need to meditate on. I believe that's what the people in Acts was meditating on. They knew Peter was in jail. They knew what happened to Stephen. But they didn't meditate on it. They didn't cave into the fear of, "We could be next." They prayed. They hung on to what they knew. They hung on to their teachings. They hung on to what the Word said. That's what we need to do. We need to be able to stand up in front of the face of whatever and say, "No, this isn't right. This isn't lawful." Have the courage to do that. And then I also want to talk about, let's go to Joshua 14, 10, 11.
"Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then."
And I just want to jump up to the Philippians one. I'm not saying cut out completely all news. What I'm saying is get a healthy dose of the good stuff in you so that you can handle the stuff you're going to see or hear in the news. I'm about 90-10. 10% news, 90% God. You know, Emmy had a wonderful dream workshop. She had it about a month or so ago. I'm a person, I don't dream much. I don't interpret dreams. But I cleared my whole calendar out for that workshop. Why? You may be wondering, why would he clear his whole... I wasn't going to work. I wasn't going to do nothing around the house. I wasn't going to do nothing fun. Now, I could do those things afterwards, but at that time slot, I was going to be here. And you could kind of say it was selfish motives on my part, because the reason I came is because I wanted to hear what God was saying to the people in this church through dreams. I wanted to be lifted up. I wanted to be puffed, you know, not puffed up. I wanted to be encouraged. Yes, thank you. I want to be encouraged. So that's why I showed up. Nothing was going to stop me from coming here, because I wanted to hear what God is saying to the people in this church. That's what I wanted to hear. And if you listen, I was just talking to Ted right there before service, and he said he was listening to Flashpoint, and they're saying revival has begun. You know, at the border and all around. And I believe that. Tom, go ahead and read that part, then I'll finish up. Genesis 18:13-14.
Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child, now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'"
Key verse. Is anything too hard for our God? You may think I'm old. You may think my body has failed me. Caleb was 85 years old, and he says, "I feel as good, if not better, than I was when I was 40. The Spirit of the Lord, I believe, fell on him and gave him strength. We're in the days that the Spirit of the Lord is going to fall on each and every one, just not the pastor. The pastor, I was talking to Pastor Roger, and he said he's writing this book and he feels like he's being accelerated. Well, guess what? It starts at the top and it goes downhill. It's not God's will that he accelerates Pastor Roger, Heather, Todd, Nicole, and the rest of us sit here just like we are. We're all going to be accelerated. It's all going to fall on us. And as I was talking about that dream workshop, Rosemary, are you ready to have phone call after phone call after phone call? It says, "I had a dream. I want to tell it to you because I know you interpret dreams. I want to know what this dream's about." And you're going to hear excitement in their voice. You're going to hear joy in their voice because they want to know what God is saying to them. Emmy, she's going to be getting those phone calls. Are we ready? Are we ready when we come to church and we're sitting in our seat and somebody new comes through the door? Are we ready to give our seat up so they can sit down? Are we ready to maybe be standing up there? Or we may even be standing on the streets because this place is so full that there's no place for us to sit. Are we going to be growling because, well, I always sit in the front pew, now there's somebody else sitting in the front pew? Are we going to be having that attitude? Are we going to be out there in the streets praising God because our seat has somebody else in it? Is that what we're going to be excited about? I'm a hunter, but you don't have to be a hunter to know that you don't get between a mama bear and her cubs. I see a lot of mama bears in here. Are you ready to draw the line in the sand for your spiritual daughters and say, "No more, no more, devil. You cross that line, you got to deal with me." And my big brother, of course. But I say me because God said, or Jesus said, "God's given me all power in heaven and on earth." Then what did he do? He gave it to us to reinsert the victory. And that's what I'm saying, mother bears, we're going to reinsert this victory over this one. over the children. No longer are you going to steal and rob. No longer are you going to persecute and destroy because I stand between you and them and you try something. It's going to be a bad day for you. Don't think I forgot about us men. Are we ready to be fathers to the fatherless? Just look at the statistics. There is more absentee fathers in the families than there is fathers in the family. Are we ready to take young men under our wings? Show them how to be a man. Show them how to treat a woman. Show them how to be a father in the aspects, just make sure there were no youngins, in the aspects of we're able to get a woman pregnant, but that's about all we know about being a dad. That we are there to nurture. We're there to protect. You know, I feel today that we are accelerating. God has to work with us. God made this plan out before Philippians say that, you know, before the foundation of this earth was laid, Jesus knew he had to come and die for us. I believe before the foundation of this earth was laid, God knew the beginning from the end, or the end from the beginning. But he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to catch up. He's accelerating, Pastor Roger. So don't be surprised if you get accelerated. That God starts stretching you in places that you're not comfortable. Maybe asking you to do things that's uncomfortable. We went to a one day about last month. And Randy Remington spoke. And he said something that really stuck with me. He's our president of Foursquare. And he said that we need to get moving in our ministry. And if we don't know what our ministry is, get up and get moving in something. And if it's the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit will guide you in the right direction. I said, man, what a pearl of wisdom. All God needs us to do is get up and get moving. Even if we're going in the wrong direction, he'll guide us into the right direction he wants us to go in. But first of all, we got to get moving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, I hope it goes in deep to our hearts, to the mothers and to the men, fathers, Lord, that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit would fall on us new and afresh. And that I just want to prophesy here. I believe that sometime, someday, I'm going to hear somebody in this church say, I feel like I did when I was 40. And you may be 70, 80, whatever. But I feel that that same spirit that was on Caleb is going to fall in this church. I believe it's going to be easy. I believe that it's not going to be hard, that you know, that we struggle and we work and we try to convince people that we have the right way and convince people this is the way you're going to live. I believe when the Holy Spirit falls in might and power, that they're going to be hungry. They're going to be drawing it out of us. They're going to want to know what we know. They're going to want to do what we do. They're going to want to be so hungry for Jesus that it isn't going to be hard. It's going to be, well, you need to do this. Okay, I will do this. You need to do, you know. And another thing I heard is, and I think this was from Dutch Sheets. He said, it's our job to love people. It's God's job to convict people. So that's all we need to do is we need to love them and let God do his part. So I just pray that the Spirit would fall on his church fresh and anew. And Lord, just bless every mother, whatever season they're in. They may be a mother, they may be a grandmother now, but bless them, Lord. Bless this church. Bless our leadership, Lord. Continue to accelerate Pastor Roger and Heather, Todd and Nicole. And I just pray that our hearts would be that we go right behind them and we accelerate too. That we move at the speed of the pastors. that we get ready for the harvest that is coming, because I believe this church will be filled. This church will be overflowing, that there will be signs and miracles. There will be healings, there will be deliverances, demons will leave screaming. And for us, it'll be easy because the Holy Spirit will be doing the work. And Pastor Heather, I just feel I have a word for you, that all the years of labor that you have put out, all the cleansing streams, all the ministry you have done, that I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to do the work. You sit there, you watch the fruits of your labor, you rejoice in the fruits of your labor, you rejoice in the seeds that you have planted. Be it all in the people that's going to rise up and do things, and you're going to think, man, I never thought they had that in them. It's not going to be a hard work for you, but it's going to be great joy. It's going to be great happiness. It's all yours.
Thank you, Glenn. What a good message.